Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the joy of being able to gather in this place today and the honor, God, to be able to come in this place and to talk about you. Lord, you said there's a book written. You said through the prophet that there's a book written and our words are recorded in that book every time we talk about you, Lord. So today, Jesus, we want to talk about you. We want to make you big and make you great. We want to make your name glorious because your name is glorious, because you are a good God, because you are a great God. And we give to you today the power and the honor and the glory that is due your name, Jesus, because you are God. You are God. You are the only God. And this is our faith that overcomes the world, that Jesus, you are the Son of God. Holy Spirit, thank you that you're the teacher. You're here. Help us, guide us through this, Lord. You said it's the God's glory to conceal a matter, but it's to the honor of man, of a king, to draw it out. So, Lord, we want to draw out your word today so that with what we learn today, we can honor you, Lord. We can honor you with what we learn today by putting it into practice. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so I want to share this with you. Carmen's been sharing a lot of things with me, and I want to share this word with you. And I did share that with some of y'all to go look it up. I don't know if you had a chance to or not, but since this is on audio, I'm going to go ahead and make this source known. This is, you can find this on YouTube. It's a very brief little exhortation from Chuck Pierce, and it's called Passover 2020. Okay? So these notes are from this, and I'm going to use this as a launching pad to launch us somewhere else, which where we're going to end up being in the Word is going to be Exodus chapter 11 and 12, okay? And just some things as you read it that God's going to show you that are going to point, that are going to jump out at you. So I want to encourage you in the next, for all of April, I want to encourage you for all of April to meditate on these passages, Exodus 11 and 12, and even more that God might give you, but at least these. Let this at least be where you start, just to meditate on it. Okay, so in this exhortation that Chuck Pierce was sharing with the body of Christ, I'm just going to read some notes, some brief notes that I took, and then we're going to go to Exodus 11, okay? He says here that what we're going through in America, in the world right now with this coronavirus situation, that's all it is a situation, but it's beneath the blood of Jesus. It has an expiration date. Amen. Amen. But the blood of Jesus never expires, and the goodness of God never expires. But this thing has an expiration date. So we say by faith, coronavirus, you have expired.
Yes. Amen.
You have lived out your welcome. You're not welcomed anymore. You're not welcomed anymore. We shut the door to you. You're not welcomed. Yes. You're not welcomed. He says what we're going through with this is actually the closest thing that we have to a Passover that we have ever known, as known in the Bible, in light of a plague, okay? And once again, remembering how the Lord has spoken that word through Jackie, she said, I've got to release this or I'm going to burst. That's how it is, you know. It's like the prophet said, I said I would speak no more in your name, Lord. He was having a moment, you know. But he said, your word was like a fire. Shut up in my bones. And I had to release it. I had to release it. So as the Lord has spoken to her about this, it was the blood. Just like with the blood that covered those that put their faith and hope in God and obeyed Him concerning the Passover lamb and smearing the blood on the doorpost. And what God said to do concerning the lamb, which we're going to read that in Exodus. That those that obeyed that and believed and trusted in God, because obedience is an act of our trust in God, right?
Yes.
Yes. If you're going to trust God, you obey Him. If you're going to obey God, it's because you trust Him. Amen.
Amen.
You trust Him. So that it was just like the blood, that when God saw the blood, He would pass over. I'm hearing so much of this even outside of church. I'm hearing so many believers say this. You know, they're saying, I heard this week one of the believers at said to me and another girl that was standing there, she said, do this if you believe. Then she looked at the other girl. She said, do it if you even don't believe. Do it anyway. Get you some olive oil. Go buy you some olive oil and anoint your doorpost in your house. Anoint and proclaim the blood of Jesus over your house. And she said, it tickled me. She looked at me. She said, I know you believe. She said, do it even if you don't believe. She said to the other young lady. She said, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Okay, so Chuck Pierce believes the Lord has shown him this is the year the Lord is blowing from heaven. 2020 becomes the year that China makes its push to become the world power. He says, take resources and do exploits. Do other things with them. Be creative. Be creative. Take the resources you have. And he says the last thing we should do, which we know as believers, is to be buying up all the toilet tissue and paper towels or anything else. You know, because that's not faith. That's hoarding. It doesn't mean that if there's an extra, you get a pack for yourself and there's an extra pack that you want to share with someone else. That's okay. But it does mean do not fill up your buggy with them. Be selfish and greedy. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. That should not be named among the body of Christ. Okay. Maintain faith and good news. I like that. He says maintain faith. You know, when you maintain something, you take care of it so it can last forever, right?
Yeah.
You maintain it because you want it to last. He says, maintain good faith and good news. Maintain good faith and good news. He's preparing us to cross over, meaning the body of Christ. And he talks about this plague-like condition. He says, in the middle of this, have a word of faith at every turn. Have a word of faith. And we can only do that if we're feeding our heart with His Word. Okay? And then he talks about the two things, and I'm going to give you scripture reference, so at your own pace, you can go back and study this. We're not going to study this today, okay? And so there were two things in David's time that angered God, and there was an outbreak. There was a plague. There was an outbreak. He said the first was David's biggest mistake, and we find that, here's your scripture reference, 2 Samuel 2 Samuel chapter 24, and 1 Chronicles chapter 21. The Word of God says there that Satan inspired or provoked David to take a census. That Satan did it. He provoked him. Yeah, okay. Well, let's turn there and look at that real quick. I'm not reading the whole chapter. I'm not going to do it. I walk in self-control. That is 2 Chronicles 24. It's 1 Chronicles. I keep on apologizing. It's 1 Chronicles 21. I promise I got it right this time. No, I just need to read my notes. 1 Chronicles 21. I said, that's not it. Satan rose up against Israel and caused David to take a census of the people of Israel. So Satan rose up against the nation. Did you get that? He rose up against the nation. And he caused one man who was the leader of the nation to take a census. Now, we're not going to go into all that. You study and meditate that. Chuck Pierce says he believes that that was David's biggest mistake. Okay? Because David did not find to go back to the Word and follow the ordinances of God, that before you do that, you take and you do what's called the law of ransom. Okay, you're gonna find the law of ransom in Exodus 30:12. Let's turn there and look at that. Exodus 30:12. Okay. David's biggest mistake was that he didn't follow the guidelines God has set down for what reason? To protect his people.
Yes.
To protect his people. No wonder God says, bring me to remembrance. I love what Miss Dolores says. She says, God says, bring me to remembrance, lest you think I forgot.
Yeah.
I didn't forget, God says, but you bring me to remembrance, because if you think that I forgot, because I didn't forget. Amen. So it's for our benefit. Okay, Exodus 30, verse 12. Okay, whenever you take a census of the people of Israel, each man who is counted must pay a ransom for himself to the Lord. Then no plague will strike the people as you count them. Now, I'm not going to read all that. You can finish, go back and reading some more of that. That goes on and on, and it's very rich and very deep. So David did not follow the guidelines that God had set in place, because in his anxiety, in his anxiousness, he did this without taking time, taking it, going and doing it God's way. Okay, so the law of ransom, interesting. I was meditating on this again this morning, and I was just thinking about it. The law of ransom. The law of ransom involves the blood. Involves the blood. And without the shedding of blood, there can be no ransom. What did God ordain through worship in the Levitical law? He ordained that there would be a sacrifice of blood. The law of ransom, see, it's all about Jesus. Why did God get so angry? Because God, of course, God knew what David didn't know. All this is about my son. All this is leading up to the fulfillment of me sending my son. And when you violate what I've set in place, you're not giving credit and honor and glory to me. And in the long run, you won't be giving credit and honor and glory to my son. Because it is his precious blood. It is his precious blood that was the ultimate sacrifice. So the law of ransom, we can't be ransomed or set free from anything unless it's by the blood of that God has ordained to be shed. Okay? So I just saw that today in a whole different way. It speaks of the blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no ransom from sin or from the power of Satan. No wonder. No wonder. Satan provoked him to do this, because had he had done it the right way and done what God said to do, Exodus 30:12.
Kathy, what I saw, oh my gosh, I just got such a quick glimpse of that, because right away I thought about kids that are kidnapped. If the person wants a ransom,
yes,
for them to get them back. I saw the picture of when David did that and counted the people without the people paying a ransom to God, these people are, it's like a picture of, they just belong to me. The ransom is that you give yourself, it's a picture of you're giving yourself back to God.
Yes.
And he is protecting you, covering you. Without the ransom, David himself, it's a picture of David himself saying, they're just my people. They're just, y'all see that?
Yes.
They're just my people.
That's true.
It removed the hand of protection of God. That's why there's the law of ransom, because Jesus had not come yet to pay. Because Jesus bought us back from the devil.
That's right. He redeemed us. He ransomed us. Yes, he did.
With the blood. He did everything with his blood. So he bought us back. Without them doing that and counting the people, David was counting them as if those people were
belonged to him.
And not counting God. And like Chuck said in there, David didn't go far enough back into the world and look to see what he was supposed to do when he took a census. And so he's saying these people are mine in essence, and the devil knew that. They're not God's, they're mine.
Remove the authority, the cover.
Yes. Oh God, I hope y'all saw that.
Yes, we did. Yes. Read the next verse.
Whoa.
Read the next verse, meaning 13. Each person who is counted must give a small piece of silver as a sacred offering to the Lord. This payment is half a shekel based on the sanctuary shekel and equals 20 gerahs. How do you say that word? Yes. Amen.
And I believe silver is redemption.
Well, he does speak in this.
He does
speak in this about giving an offering of money. And Chuck exhorts us in this not to stop giving.
Yes,
during this time, but to be faithful in our giving. But then we go. But we also know that a part of the worship there was a blood sacrifice. We do know that too. Even though this specifically does not, law of ransom does not mention the blood sacrifice, we do know that a part of worship, and God set up in the Levitical practice of worship, involve the blood.
So three times during the year there's a blood sacrifice?
You know, because we're just a small group, even if everybody was here, I could say it, but because after listening to that, just in myself, it leaped up in me. This year, when I do my census, mm-hmm. I've already told myself, I don't care what amount it is, I'm putting something in the offering this year mm-hmm. when I fill out my census.
Amen.
Just as a practice of
yes.
God's Word.
Yes.
Just for me. Just as a practice yes. of God's Word.
Yes.
Whether it's $1, $2, $50, I'm putting something in.
Right.
As just a walkout practice from God for the law of ransom.
Amen.
Just because I do believe this is the closest that we are ever at this time going to walk out what the Israelites walked out in their day.
And all of that certainly does play into this, but for me too, it all just all goes back to the blood.
Yes.
It all just goes back to the blood.
Yes.
And you know, I think about our resurrection offering too.
Yes.
You know, how we, you know, are giving that, you know, so that into prison fellowship, so that these men and women there can know that they have been ransomed.
Yes.
That they have been ransomed. But yes, that is, we will encourage the body to do that too, you know, to do both.
Yes.
You know, the resurrection offering, but to give an offering as you, around this time, as you do your census, to do what the Word of God says to do here. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And the next thing he talks about, the second mistake that David made was that he moved the ark when he was taking the ark back to Jerusalem, and he didn't follow the guidelines that God has set for that. And you're going to find that in First Chronicles chapter 13 and 15, and 2 Samuel chapter 6. First Chronicles 13. Chapter 13, chapter 15. 13 is where he goofed up. 15 is where he got it right. And 2 Samuel, chapter 6. You're going to find other cross references, I'm sure, in other places. Probably the book of Kings, because you see a lot of the same accounts recorded in Chronicles, Samuel, and Kings. So that's what Chronicles is. It's the recording of the kings, of their reign. David had to build an altar and give an offering. We see this in the moving of the ark. He had to build an altar and give an offering. And this involves giving and worship. And we see the blood in both things. We see without the blood, the ark speaks of the presence of God, right? It speaks of the worship of God, right? So without the shedding of blood, we can't even come into God's presence to truly worship Him without the blood. We're not even ransomed. We can't even be redeemed back to God without His blood. So both of these speak to me of the blood, mm-hmm. of the blood that was shed, and the blood that gives us the authority and the privilege to come into the presence of God. Amen. And He says, when we come together, the Lord God wants us to remember the body and the blood. And he exhorts us again of giving an offering, give an offering, and take communion. Communion purges us. And He gives an exhortation there when this word came out. And I believe it came out on the 18th of March. And I didn't find out about it until last Sunday. But over the next 7 days, He says, give an offering and take communion. Well, Dean and I are just doing that going forward. We are doing communion every evening and reading the 91st Psalm, praying, declaring the 91st Psalm. Tammy had given me a copy of that by Sid Roth. Well, you personalize it. You don't have to have a copy to do that. Just open your Word and personalize it. He says that we're going to see a clash of nations, especially between America and China. And He says, lift up your hands and say, Lord, fill my hands. Open your mouth and say, Lord, fill my mouth. And speak faith into the earth realm. So let's do that. Let's lift up our hands and let's say, Lord, fill my hand. So I can turn right around and worship You with what You put in my hands, Lord. Lord, I open my mouth. Fill my mouth, Lord. So I can worship You and speak words of faith and hope into the earthly realm in Jesus' name. Fill my hands, Lord. Fill my mouth, God, for your glory,
for
a release of your glory that is in me into the earth. I speak it out wherever I go. I speak it out. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. I'm going to share this with you real quick, and then we're going to get over into the Passover word. But my brother Frank, I called to speak to him about a family gathering. He said, you know, I want to share this with you. He said, I heard the Lord say this to me. My name is my presence. And my presence is in my name. My name is my presence. And my presence is in my name. And like all of us, when you believe the Lord is speaking, you say, Lord, what are you saying? What does that mean? I don't understand that, Lord. So he said that to the Lord. He said, Lord, what do you mean? The Lord said, did not I say, where two or more are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Are you gathered with me right now, son, you and I? Are we gathered together right now in worship? My presence is my name. My name is my presence. I have to get it right. My name is my presence. In other words, when you evoke my name, you evoke my presence. And my presence is in my name. And then he started speaking to me about another passage that I don't have a... Now, on both of these, I don't have a scripture reference for you, but we're good students. We can look it up. But do you remember when Solomon dedicated the temple? He said, Lord, your name, put your name in this place. Did he not say that? He said, and whenever our enemy comes against us, Lord, and we look to this place, or we come to this place, God, and we call upon your name, God, and then, God, you will come to our rescue.
Yes.
So Solomon's saying, God, place your name in this place, God, because your name in this place means, God, that your presence is here. When we call upon your name, we evoke your presence to come and to help us. Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
So let's go.
I believe this is if evil comes upon us, the sword of judgment or pestilence or famine will stand before this house and before you. For your name and the symbol of your presence is in this house.
Mm-hmm.
We cry to you in our affliction and you will hear and save. That is in Chronicles. 2 Chronicles 20 verse 9. And I'll see if it's somewhere else, but I'll stop there so that you can move on.
Good.
I believe
Thank you.
That goes with another scripture. I believe it says you put your name on this house.
Isn't that something, though? My name is my presence, and my presence is in my name. When you call upon the name of the Lord, He is right there. He is there.
Yeah.
He is there.
You'll go above and just write down verse 8 and read it later. That
verse 8? Okay.
8 and 9. Okay.
Thank you, Carmen. Now, I said we were going to go over to Exodus, but I want to share this with you before we do that because, you know, we've heard a lot about the year 5780 in the Hebrew, the calendar, the container, the mouth, okay? But then some other folks are saying or speaking about the year 2020, okay? Carmen has shared this with me about the year 2020. Dutch Sheets says some things about this. Chuck Pierce says some things about this. Lance Walno has said some things about this. So I was curious. So I went to the Strong's Concordance and looked up the word 20. Because I was curious. Uh-huh. Curious minds want to know, right?
Yes.
It's to the glory of God to conceal a matter, but to the honor of a king to do what?
To search it out.
To search it out. Okay. Yes. So 20 means open hand. That's not my note. That's not what the Strong Concordance says, but it's all lined up. You're going to see how it lines up, okay? So these prophets are saying that 20 means open hand. So 2020 means double hand.
Yeah.
So our giving, and we just start doing that starting right now.
Yeah.
We put it to God, this is an open hand, and God, I'm giving what's in my hand, so Father, so you can feel it. Feel my hands. Oh, my, for the glory and honor of God.
Amen.
The more you have, the more you can give when your heart is in the right place toward God. God wants to bless you because He knows you're going to honor Him with it.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And like the psalm says, it's not normal not to increase. God's the God of increase.
Yeah, that's Psalms 115.
Because Psalms 115, Carmen says. Psalms 115, I'm going to jot that down. The God of increase. Psalms 1:15. Okay. And he goes on to say, Chuck Pierce goes on to say, get ready, you are going to grab a hold of a new portion. You're going to grab a hold of a new portion. So, I looked up the number 20 in the Strong's Concordance in the Hebrew. It's 6242.
It's not 20.
No, it's 6242. And I am going to try to pronounce these Hebrew words because I think they're so beautiful. Esrim. Esrim. Esreeme. Esrim. Esrim. I wish I could say it like some of these Hebrew scholars say it. Okay. And it comes from another word. Don't you love how they do that? You go deeper and deeper and deeper.
Yeah.
It comes from another word, 6235, which is Asra. Asra. A-S hyphen R-A-W with the accent on the R-A-W. And in the first word, the accent's on the R-E-E-M. I know if there's any Hebrew scholars listening, they're probably just laughing how I'm pronouncing these words. And that comes from another word, 6237. I'm building a case with this. 62. You got to get to the root of the word, y'all. You got to search it out.
Yes.
6237. Asar. 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 A-W hyphen S-A-R with the emphasis on the S-A-R. Asar. Okay. And it means 10. 10. As an accumulation to the extent of the digits. Mm. 10, and then you got your little, it says 10 to EN, 10, and then in the little parentheses it says as an accumulation, because 10 plus 10 equals what?
20.
20. I think this is really rich as I go on through this, okay? As an accumulation to the extent of the digits, okay? 10 and another 10. As an accumulation to the extent of the digits. Are you hearing that? An accumulation to the extent. Open hand, open mouth, and I'll feel it. Mm-hmm. Open hands, and I'll feel it. As an accumulation to the extent of the digits. Okay? So, wait a minute. I'm going to keep on going. 6237 comes from 6235. And some of you are going to recognize this Hebrew word from our study of first fruits and the tithe through Dr. Ed Nelson. Thank you, Holy Spirit. 6237 comes from 6235. Asir. Asir. You know what Asir is? Asir is a Hebrew word for tithe. For tithe. Asir. E-H with the emphasis on E-H. Then there's a space. S-E-R. Asir. To tithe. You go again. Here we go. Be deeper and deeper. And this 6235 to tithe also comes from another. Well, this 6237. Let me back up. 6237 comes from two words. Okay. 6237 comes from 6235 to tithe, as seer, and also from 6238 comes from two words that means chiefly to grow rich.
To make rich.
And there's a scripture reference, 1 Kings 22:48. And I haven't looked up that yet, so we're going to do that together. 1 Kings 22:48. The Strong's Concordance gave a scripture reference.
1 Kings 22:48.
Okay, let me see. And I haven't looked it up yet. I haven't looked it up, y'all. I didn't look up this one. Jehoshaphat also built a fleet of trading ships to sell to Orpah for gold. But the ships never set sail, for they met with disaster in their home port of Ezion-Geber. Okay, so, but he made him, the point is here, in 1 Kings 2:22-48, that Jehoshaphat did it. He made himself rich. under God's authority, I'm saying. I'm not saying he wasn't a self-made man, but he used these ideas to bring increase. You understand what I'm saying? Because if you go back to that word 62:38, to grow rich, it says to make oneself rich. To make oneself rich. Jehoshaphat also built a fleet of trading ships. Why would you build a fleet of trading ships? You wanted to trade. You wanted to bring increase, right? You understand what I'm saying? See, when you take that one word and you break it down and break it down and break it down and break it down, God, you know, 2020 is the year of the open hand for God to fill it. But see, God works with you and gives you ideas to fill those hands. You understand what I'm saying? To make you rich. And also, it is significant that it has to do with the tithe. Because I believe God is doing this for people who are obedient to God in the tithe and obedient to God in everything He says to do.
To the extent of the digit.
You could say, just taking liberty right here, not saying this in the Word of God, but you could say, 10 plus 10 equals 20. You started out with the tithe. You started out with the 10. You were obedient that, but you kept on. It's a good place to start, right? It's a good place, but you kept on giving and giving. You increased. You can't increase the tithe. The tithe is 10%. People say, I give more than a tithe. No, you can't give more than a tithe. The tithe is only 10%.
The Lord just applied.
Above that, you didn't get an offering. But you can't. That's correct.
Okay. Now, what you're saying.
Oh, my goodness.
What you're saying goes into something else that Chuck said prophetically this month in another place, and he gave a testimony of a person, because I think that he already said in that little back porch thing, and you said, I believe you said it, that he said that God's going to show you something else to bring increase to you. He said, and there, and that just goes right into what you're saying, because on the platform, he said it in a meeting that this year God's going to give His people another, you're going to get another idea. So be quiet, be open, listen to God. He's going to give you something else that's going to bring you increase. And a man that he knows, the Lord gave this man already in this year, gave this man, I want to say his name was Wesley, gave him an idea and brought this guy, I mean, it was a buku money, so that he could do. So, I mean, it goes right into
sure.
You wanting to study that out.
The word
it's confirming the word of the prophet.
That's right. So they didn't just make this up.
I mean,
if they heard God and heard God clearly, it's backed up and confirmed by the Word.
Either when I went and fell asleep last night, or either when I woke up, my last thought or my first thought, I really don't know. And I said, as I either drifted off or I woke up, I said, Lord, it's like we're living like the disciples. I mean, in the way of, because every day I say, God, you're here. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know you're always with us, but no, you're here.
Yes.
You're here.
Yes, yes.
You are here. And I said that sometime over last night. I said, Lord, it's like we're like the disciples.
Yes.
That it's so real.
That's right. So tangible.
So real.
It's like that word come alive where John says, we have touched and handled the Word of God.
Yes.
We have touched Him and handled Him.
It's so real.
Like you,
in all of my walk, this is the realest it has ever just felt.
To me, it's because of the authority of the Word that's in the earth. And it's because believers are speaking out the Word. He is the Word made flesh.
Yes.
So He is not physically here like He was there. It's the Word that's going out, Carmen.
Yes.
It's the Word that's coming out of our mouth.
Yes, yes.
When it's like the
And it's the true prophets that have risen up.
Yes,
because
and the
God
worship.
Because says, I don't do anything until I tell you. And He tells us individuals, and He speaks through the prophets that are in that nation and to the nations.
Mm-mm.
And it's because, I mean, you look at the acceleration since the last couple of years when all of a sudden we're listening to Cindy Jacobs, we're listening to Lance Wallnau, Chuck Pierce, Doug Sheep. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh, I can just...
And it's the word. I'll come down to the word.
It's the word. It's Jeremiah Johnson. It's all the... All of a sudden, they've been here, but all of a sudden, it's like popcorn. God's got them.
Yeah.
I mean, they can't even speak it out quick enough that God give them in the bodies. Receiving. Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's it.
The body's receiving, and the more they receive, the more God speaks out through
them. That's right. That's
so
right.
That also is to the
extent
of
the word.
Attention.
It's the word.
The more you make room for it, the more it fills up.
That's right.
You make room, it fills up. You make room,
that's
it fills
right.
up.
That's right. There's no scarcity of God's word. It's a time of a plentiness of His word.
Yeah.
Did you have a thought, Tammy? I thought
Woo!
I. You know. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You know that. There was a period where there was a dark time where there was the word of the Lord was very scarce or not heard. But thank God we're in a time right now where His word is being heard. It's being poured. It's the word.
Amen.
It's the word and the speaking out of the word. But I'm just going to review these numbers for you real quick because it's just so good. The number 20, 6242 comes from 6235. Comes from 6237, which means 10 as an accumulation to the extent of the digits. And 6237 comes from two words. It comes from 6235, which means to tithe. And also from 6238, which means chiefly to grow rich or to make rich. And then we have that scripture reference, 1 Kings 22:48. To make oneself rich actually is what that, one of the definitions there is to make oneself rich. And of course, we know that comes by listening to the ideas of the Lord. To listen to God, He tells us how. And He knows with that, all of this is taken in context that we glorify and honor God with that. It's to bring Him glory and honor. We honor Him with it. But oh, when we search out a word, when we just search it out, you know, we believe these folks. We know they're speaking the truth, and that's how we know, is because their words come to pass.
Yeah.
Their words come to pass. But let's get into a little bit of and what time is it anyway?
12:20.
Okay. Let's get into a little bit, and we're going to be going over this again. We're not going to by far complete this today by far, but I want you, as you read Exodus 20 and as you read Exodus 12, see what jumps out at you, what the Lord speaks to you. There were several words here, and I searched them out, and I was so blessed when I searched out those words. I had to go back to the King James to get that word, how the King James translation says it, because of my Strong's Concordance, which is a book, based these words on the King James. The original King James, anyway. So, let's read it first. Exodus chapter 11. Then the Lord said to Moses, I will strike Pharaoh and the land of Egypt with one more blow. After that, Pharaoh will let you leave this country. In fact, he will be so eager to get rid of you that he will force you all to leave. Tell all the Israelites and women to ask their Egyptian neighbors for articles of silver and gold. Now the Lord had caused the Egyptians to look favorably on the people of Israel. I tell you, in the middle of all this, the world is looking at the church.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, they're looking at the church, y'all. They're looking at the church.
Yep.
And Moses was considered a very great man in the land of Egypt, respected by Pharaoh's officials and the Egyptian people alike. Moses had announced to Pharaoh, this is what the Lord says, at midnight tonight, I will pass through the heart of Egypt. Now that speaks. The heart. I will speak through the heart. It's a heart matter. God says, I am passing through the heart of people. I am passing through the heart.
Wow.
All the firstborn sons will die in every family in Egypt, from the oldest son of Pharaoh, who sits on the throne, to the oldest son of his lowest servant girl who grinds the flour. Even the firstborn of all the livestock will die. Then a loud wail will rise throughout the land of Egypt, a wail like no one has heard before or will ever hear again. Mm. But, among the Israelites, it will be so peaceful.
Oh my God! Oh my God! My God!
It will be so peaceful. That's why we just study out this account, y'all.
Yes.
Like the prophet said, this is the closest we have come. But among the Israelites, it will be so peaceful that not even a dog will bark. Then you will know that the Lord makes a distinction between the Egyptians and the Israelites. God makes a distinction between those two paths we talked about. Those two paths. All of the officials of Egypt will run to me and fall to the ground before me. Please leave. They will beg, hurry, take all of your followers with you. Only then will I go. Then, burning with anger, Moses left Pharaoh. Now the Lord had told Moses earlier, Pharaoh will not listen to you, but then I will do even more mighty miracles in the land of Egypt. Moses and Aaron performed these miracles in Pharaoh's presence, but the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let the Israelites leave the country. I thought about something that a prophet that Carmen and I had gone to hear, Jim Riley. He said there was going to be like a blanket of snow that was going to cover the U.S., and I might not have gotten exactly right, but he talked about a blanket of snow. So I was still looking forward to snow. Of course, I don't want it now because everything's blooming and it's beautiful. But, you know, it's never, you know, when God, even a prophet will tell you this, when the Lord tells them something, they know it in part. They really ever know, really truly know how it's going to play out. Sometimes it's like, oh, that's what you meant by that.
Yes.
Now look at this. This is, and he, I told you, I shared this with you months ago. He said, In this, it would be representative of God's glory. And in this covering of glory in over America, it would test what was in the hearts of men and women. It would reveal what was in the hearts. Mm-hmm. Now, this thing right now is not doing that. It is revealing what's in the heart.
Yes.
Of men, all men and all women.
Yes.
Okay. So, as he says back in verse 4, this is what the Lord says, at midnight tonight I will pass through the heart of Egypt. I will pass through the heart, God says. I will pass through the heart to test what is in the heart. Well, I know that literally that means he, the center of Egypt, is going to pass through Egypt. But I'm saying also, looking at from that from perspective, this thing does really reveal to us what's in our heart.
Yeah,
it really does. It really does reveal to us.
And I do believe that the Lord meant, I will reveal what's in Egypt's heart.
Yes.
If he had seen anything of him in it, he wouldn't have. That way they couldn't
repented.
They would have had opportunity. But in that way, also a chance to repent, and they couldn't say that you're just a mean God. No. I revealed what in your heart,
yes,
and I'm not in it.
Mm. And even now in this, thank God, when he does reveal what's in our heart, it's because he loves us and we want to say, okay, Father, I don't want this. I don't like this in me. I reject this, Lord. Your blood purges me. Thank God he reveals what's there so we can deal with it, right?
Yes.
And not cover it up. A man that covers up his sins is not blessed, but the one who forsakes it and deals with it and cries out to God gets deliverance, is blessed by God. Okay, chapter 12. Then we're going to look at some other things basically from chapter 12 for a little bit today, okay? While the Israelites were still in the land of Egypt. Stop. While God's people were still in the land of bondage. While the Israelites were still in the land of Egypt, God, y'all, they hadn't come out before God said, do this. They were still in the land. I know we know this, but that just does something on the inside of me. It's like, while you're in the middle of this thing going on, this is what I'm telling you to do to deliver you.
Right.
While you're in the middle of it, right smack dab in the middle of, this is my answer. This is my answer. While the Israelites were still in the land of Egypt, the Lord gave the following instructions to Moses and Aaron. From now on, this month will be the first month of the year for you. Look at this. Now, we're going to study out the word month. Very interesting what I learned about the word month. From now on, this month, right here, God says, this month is going to be the first month of the year for you. God's changing something. This is going to be your first month in the year. I'm making some changes here, God's saying. Announce to the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each family must choose a lamb or a young goat for a sacrifice. One animal for each household. If a family is too small to eat a whole animal, let them share with another family in the neighborhood. Divide the animal according to the size of each family and how much they can eat. The animal you select must be a one-year-old male, either a sheep or a goat, with no defects. Take special care of this chosen animal until the evening of the 14th day of this month. So how many days went by there? On the 10th day, they choose this animal. Going to be a one-year-old male, sheep or goat, no defects. And then on the 14th day, this animal is going to be there. The 10th, the 11th, the 12th, the 13th, and the 14th. And then the 14th, you're going to do something. Five, the number of grace. Five, the number of grace. On the 14th day of this first month, then the whole assembly of the community of Israel must slaughter their lamb or young goat at twilight. They are to take some of the blood and smear it on the sides and tops of the door frame of the houses where they eat the animal. Where they eat the animal. In the house where you eat the animal, you are to smear this blood on the same place where you eat the animal. That same night, they must roast the meat over a fire and eat it along with bitter salad greens and bread made without yeast. Do not eat any of the raw meat, meat raw or boiled, or boil it in water. The whole animal, including its head, legs, and fire, or organs, must be roasted over fire. Do not leave any of it until the next morning. Burn whatever is not eaten before morning. These are your instructions for eating this meal. Be fully dressed. Wear your sandals and carry your walking stick in your hand. Eat the meat with urgency, for this is the Lord's Passover. On that night I will pass through the land of Egypt and strike every firstborn son and firstborn male animal in the land of Egypt. I will execute judgment against all the gods of Egypt, for I am the Lord. But the blood on your doorpost will serve as a sign marking the houses where you are staying. God! When I see the blood, I will pass over you. This plague of death will not touch you when I strike the land of Egypt. This is a day to remember. This is a day to remember. This is a day to remember. Each year, from generation to generation, you must celebrate it as a special feast to the Lord. Okay, so I'm not going to keep on reading all that. He goes into instructions about how to conduct the feast. And we know that the nation of Israel, true Jewish people that live by this commandment of God, they do this, and they do it religiously. They do it faithfully. We know that from our study last year. Okay, so a few things here jumped out to me. I'm just going to share these few things. And I want you, y'all, we're going to be on this for a while.
Yeah.
Because God's just going to build on this. Because as you read, you're going to see other things that you're just going to see. It's going to jump out at you. Because this Passover, this year, which Passover, if I'm understanding right, is on the 8th.
It begins sundown the 8th.
Sundown the 8th, which that's going to be a Friday, correct?
Wednesday.
That's going to be a Wednesday?
As far as I remember from the calendar. Yes.
Wednesday the 8th.
Huh. I believe. I can tell you real quick because I got a calendar in front of
yeah.
me. Yes, it is Wednesday.
Yeah.
May.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So, just a few things here. For time's sake, we're not going to get, and I might not even get to all this. I might not even get to it. But I want to look at the word remember because this was very interesting. Exodus 12:14. This is a day to remember. Okay. So, I had to go back to the King James. The word remember means memorial. This day is a memorial. It's number 2146. Zik. Zik-R-O-N-E. Zikrone. Putting emphasis on the R-O-N-E. Zikrone. This is the Hebrew word for memorial. 2146. It comes from 2142, which means a memento or a memorable thing, a memorable day, or a memorable writing or a record. This is the day of record. Oh my God. You ever heard that saying before? They made a record sale. This was a record sale year for them.
Yeah.
This is a day of record, God says. Something to pay attention to, right?
Yeah.
Yes. It's like if you have a record sale in something, you want to take notes on what you did because you want to do it again, right?
Yeah.
Amen. You want to do it again. So we take note of what happened. We take note of what happened in this account, because God says it's worth remembering. It's a memorial. Okay? And that 2142 means to mark so as to be recognized. To mark so as to be recognized. Mark it. Carmen taught us about this a while back, and I'm going to ask her in a few minutes just to bring this again to us. To mention or recount. That's how you bring the record back up. You mention it. You recount it. That's what makes it a memorial. If you just forget about it, you have no record of it, you don't recount it, you don't bring it back up again, it's not important to you. It hasn't become a memorial. You think about, oh my God, think about even the nation right now and even those Hasidic Jews that religiously practice the Passover. They don't even understand prophetically what they're doing. It is in doing that that the blood of God is protecting that nation over and over again. Because God says it's a memorial. It's a record. It's a recount. It's a telling it again. And God says, you're remembering it. Oh, my Lord. Let me keep on with the definition. My God. To mark as to be recognized, to mention, to recount, to bring to remembrance. To bring to remembrance. To bring in remembrance. There's a difference of bringing something to remembrance and bringing in remembrance. When you bring something in remembrance, y'all, you're right there.
Yeah.
When you remember it, you remember something beautiful, wonderful that happened to you. Remember that special place with God, that revelation. You bring in remembrance.
You live it again.
You're living it again. You're recounting it. You're retelling it. Okay, but look at this. I'll let you share. I promise. Okay. Not only to bring. Now, this is what the word. So, beside the word bring, down below in your notes, put this in little brackets right beside it. To bring means to call. To come. God. To keep. And to put. Bring means to call, to come, to keep, and to put. So God's saying, call me to and call me in remembrance. Mm-hmm. Come to remembrance. Come in remembrance. Keep in remembrance. Put in remembrance. Put to remembrance. You see how you break that word down? It means all that. It means all that. Now, one more thing, Carmen, I'm going to turn you loose. From 21:42, now 21:42 comes from 21:45. It's all about Jesus. I'm telling you, it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's all about the first. He's the center of all things. This male lamb represented him. When God says you are to do this to remember, okay, that 21:42, when you break this word down, it comes from 21:45. It means a male. A male. M-A-L-E. A male of either a man or an animal. That's why God told them to choose a male 1 year old. To choose a male. It means male of man or animal as being the most noteworthy. You're not just going to choose just any old goat or sheep. It's going to be the first one. It's going to be the first one born. It's going to be a year old. And it's not going to have a defect or blemish. It's noteworthy.
Yeah.
Oh my God. If something's noteworthy, what do? You remember it. It speaks of Christ.
Yes.
This is all prophetically of Christ.
Yes.
And we know that.
And you're going to write it down.
It's
noteworthy. It's worthy
yes.
of being
remembered.
Noting either
yes.
here and or writing it.
On paper, a record. That's right. That's right.
To me, it goes
like
to
mark this day.
Recording it. Oh my gosh. Mm.
So, this one word, remembrance, when you break it all down, do this in remembrance of me.
Amen.
Because you don't even really know what this means. But I am here at this point recording and giving a record of remembrance of what I've already done, because God views everything present, right?
Yes.
So God is saying, you don't know, but I know what I've already done in Christ Jesus. You don't know, but keep a record and remember this. Do this in remembrance and to remembrance of me, because I know what I'm going to do in my son. For this time and point right now, for us, y'all, because of the blood of Jesus. Oh my, who would ever thunk that that word would come down to be male of a man or animal as a most noteworthy, as being the most noteworthy.
Amen.
My God, see that's why God said choose. Of course, God knows what the word means. We have to search it out.
Yeah.
You see, that's why God said, you choose a male animal. Because the firstborn was holy and set apart to God, right? That came out of the womb. Is that right?
Yes.
That's holy and set apart. That speaks of Christ. It's noteworthy. Okay, Carmen. Oh, my God, I tell you. My head hurts.
I think the remembrance.
My head hurts so much. From.
Yeah, I think the from that word, that remembrance is, I think you said, I mean, God's just doing it again.
Well, you share with us about the circle.
Yes. And so I think that with what you said, just it's full in it. So I've got a couple of other things.
Okay.
Because that's why he told them every year to do that, because it's in God remembers again, and he does it again and again. And for Israel, they, like you said, without them knowing the true spiritual side of it, they know it from the natural still, except for those that have received Jesus, where we know it from the spiritual and bring it out into the natural,
right,
the opposite. So saying that, I'm going to tell you, this is what grabbed me, and then I know that, and I'm glad that we're going to keep this until up to Passover.
Yeah, we need to.
So I got a couple of things that I'm going to share for us to choose on, because I got a feeling the next couple of weeks it's just going to be us. And that's fine. That's fine. I'm going to give you a couple more things to chew on that it'll be real quick. But this and what you just said, I mean, it just blew up at me. So this is the first thing. You said that it was going to be marked to be recognized.
Mm-hmm.
Thomas, look at the scars.
Oh, my God.
He was marked so he could be recognized. How did you not see that, sister? Because you know what? It's part, and it's part.
That's right.
And it's part. And it's hard.
That's right. That's right. That's
we
right.
We would blow up.
My God.
And I know you don't like negative of that, but I just don't know what other way to say it, sister. We would just literally be blown up like a turkey in a...
Well, it's like, say what the prophet said. It's set up in my bones.
In an oil thing. We would just explode.
Like a fire.
But it would be so much that we would just explode. He was marked. To be recognized.
And you know what Apostle Paul said in the end of, I think it's the end of Colossians. He says, from this point on, let no man mess with me, for I bear the mark of Christ in my body.
The mark is in us. We are recognized by the mark.
Ooh, by the mark. That's right.
My
That's good.
Father.
That is good.
Oh, my Father.
He was marked to be recognized.
Okay.
That's
then,
good.
This is... I'm going to read this, and then I'm going to share this other thing for us to chew on, because I know we're going to get into the New Testament Passover. I know that we are going to.
What you read
this morning
today.
With the first fruit, this somewhat goes into this, because I said, Lord, I wish she'd have read this out of the pack, because I was reading in the Passion.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to read the part. I was going to read the part, but I'm not going to. I'm going to read the paragraph area after what you read this morning,
okay,
which is Colossians chapter 1.
Right, gotcha.
I'm just too much. Okay, 21, 22, I'm too much all over the place. Okay, made holy through Christ. Okay, Kathy read the part that he is the head of the body, da-da-da-da. Okay, the second of this part that I think is the second part of it. Even though you were once distant from him, living in the shadow of your evil thoughts and actions, this also kind of goes into what Frank said, he reconnected you back to himself. He released his supernatural peace to you. Remember, we said there's two types of peace. The world does have a peace. God has a peace. Make sure that we set his supernatural peace to you through the sacrifice of his own body as the sin payment, the ransom. I'm saying ransom.
Yes.
On your behalf so that you could dwell in his presence. Let me read that again, but I'm going to tell you what, there's a lot in that.
Yeah, it is.
Okay. We were distant from him. We were living in the shadows of our evil thoughts and actions. He reconnected us back to himself. He released a lot of see, and this is what, there's a lot of R-E's in this time right now.
He's doing it again.
Yes, he's doing everything again.
Redo.
A lot of things you'll see from Chuck is He's revamping.
Yeah.
He's Okay. He released his supernatural. See, he had already leased it out. Now he's releasing.
Oh, my God. He leased it out to Adam, and Adam gave it away to the enemy.
Wow. And he's released
it. He gave it back to us.
Jesus.
We're now the new governors. We occupy.
released his supernatural peace to you through the sacrifice of his own body as the sin payment on your behalf, so that you would, dwell in his presence. And now there is nothing between you and Father God. For he sees you as holy, flawless, and restored. And if indeed you continue to advance in faith, maintain maintenance, assured of a firm foundation to grow upon, never be shaken from the hope of the gospel you have believed in. And this is the glorious news I preach all over the world. Okay, I wanted to share that. Now, I'm going to share something with you that I heard Copeland say. That I don't know where I learned this. I don't know, but I have told us this church for umpteen years, so I know I came to back to Columbia with this. I don't know if the Lord ministered it to me from something I heard and then he showed it to me, or if I learned it from somebody. I think the Lord just showed me. Watch who you eat with.
Yes.
Alright, if you have to go out to eat with particular people, whatever that conversation is, turn it, because it is very dangerous to eat, because meals can be covenant. So be careful with who you eat with, so that that meal is not, those words aren't sealed in that meal. Be very careful. And if people keep on, you know, like a co-worker, something like that I'm talking about.
Turn it
if you're able to.
Turn it.
And when you get back out to your car, you can pray and break the thing.
Amen.
Okay, because, and I'm going to say that again, saying this. This was so good from Copeland. Not ever heard anybody else say it. They could have, but never, ever heard. Okay, this is something for us to chew on for when we get, that way we'll have it and get into it when we get into the New Testament of Passover. All right, I'm going to go ahead and flip over to this one psalm. I'm going to share these two scriptures and what Copeland said, that one-liner, my. Okay, so I'll be right here at it. Yep, okay. Now, this is Matthew 26, about the Passover. It's talking about covenant, okay? Jesus is saying, I'm not going to read all of it, but he tells them, I will keep the Passover. I will keep the Passover, not a Passover, the Passover. There's a difference between A and
B. Oh, yes.
I will keep the Passover at your house. Okay? Now, God never breaks covenant.
Never.
Never breaks covenant. Even in this situation, he did not break covenant. He said, and Copeland didn't even go into the details of it. He just said this one liner. I went, whoa. And I looked it up as Kathy was speaking. All right. He said, one of you is going to betray me. Which one was it? The one that dipped the bread with him. Oh. Food. It was covenant. Yes. Jesus did not break his covenant with Judas. He still dipped the bread. He said, I'm still. Because remember what we learned with Jim Riley? Is when God said, called Abraham friend. You know, in our nation, in our dictionary, and all of that, we just think of friend. That's not what God said. That word friend means covenant.
Yes, covenant.
That's
partner.
What we learned from
covenant
Jim
partner.
Riley.
Covenant partner.
Covenant partner. Covenant. Jesus still said, Judas, up to the very end, I did not break covenant with you.
And the meal revealed what was in his heart.
That's what, and that's what I said, like with Egypt. God went through the heart of Egypt.
Oh,
he went through the middle. That way they could never say, you're just a mean God. No, I revealed what was in your heart to you. You have time to repent.
Right, over and over.
He was faithful to Judas up to the end. He still is. That not a wow?
That is rich. He never broke.
Okay, now, okay, let me give you the other scripture. Okay, so that's Matthew. Oh, and I'm sorry. And boy, because I really jumped ahead, but
no,
I
that's
knew
okay. that's good.
I
no,
know that
no.
we're going to go into the New Testament, and that way we can mull on
it's
it.
It's good.
That way we can mull on
and
it.
And that's
okay?
Matthew chapter what, so I can write it down?
It's 26.
Matthew 26.
Yes, because all of that's the Passover. Okay. Now, that very verse is, he replied, "He who has just dipped his hand in the same dish with me will betray me." Jesus kept covenant with Judas up to the very end. Mm-hmm. That's why I said, in covenant, be careful what we speak about while we're eating and all. I mean, and I might be carrying that a little bit too far, but I'm going to tell you, it has always been very heavy in my...
No,
it's... Not heavy, but it's always been real strong in my heart. I'd rather be too much with that.
It's backed up by the Word.
Yeah, because, oh my gosh. Okay, so that is actually verse 23.
Okay.
26:23 is that actual verse. He who has just dipped his hand with me. All right. Then, see, my Bible gives the reference of Psalms 41:9. So I went there and I already lost it. Give me a second to go back to it. 41:9. And then I went up to the verse above it. I'm going to read that in a second because I think that even can apply to now. Even my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, relied on and confident, who ate of my bread. I'm going to tell you, meals are very important.
Oh, my God.
To me, meals, and that's like why, when my girls were little and I had their baptism, not their baptism, their dedication, I always had who was directly involved with it over to my house for a covenant meal. So those people, oh God, I feel goosies all through me. Those people would always be tied to me and my children.
My God.
It was very important
very
for
important.
Me. Hannah and Rachel both, and I called them. I called those meals covenant meals. Their godparents were there, the minister that dedicated them, me, Robert, of course, my mom, whoever was there.
Mm.
It's very important for us to even seal things with a meal. You're marking
it
so that it'll be recognized. Amen. All right, so that person who ate of my bread has lifted up his heel against me. See, and you can go back, and it might be where I learned it, searching it out. The Lord's bringing it back to my remembrance. I believe reading this about in biblical times, it's how they ended, and actually, I can't remember if they started it or ended it or during. That's how I think it came to me about covenant meals and being very careful. Because I studied out in true biblical days, the kings sealed their agreements with a meal.
Mm-mm.
You know, they would say, go get the this and the that and prepare this and that and the other, and they would eat. See, and David alongside that road of Ziklag, and he gave that Egyptian the raisins and all for telling him of where he made a covenant. No, we won't harm you. He made a covenant with that young,
that's
with that person on the road. I won't harm you. That's rich.
Very.
Okay, now the verse above that, 8 says, an evil disease, say they, is poured out upon him and cleaves fast to him. And now that he is bedfast. So, anyway, I was thinking about that with this thing going on now. And I'm like, no. Because even like, with our government in China, and they've held a friendship to really watch China. See, even my friend came against me and unleashed this evil. See, that's what caught my attention. There was not just a disease.
Mm-mm.
Evil.
Right.
Evil disease is what caught me on verse 8.
God's turned it for good.
Yes.
He's turned it for good.
Yeah, and you know, and with that, and God, we need your move. I have extended my confession. Father, I thank you that as you have turned things, you've turned me in your turn. God, we need a move, and I thank you that I'm in your move.
There you go.
I've extended those two confessions into, I've made it, I said, thank you, Lord, that you have turned this, and I am in your turn.
Glory to God.
I am with you in this turn. That song from Brandon and her name, Tasha Cobbs was her name.
Yeah.
Okay, her and Brandon. We need a move. And I said, no. I said, Father, I thank you that you're moving and I'm in your move.
I'm in your move.
I am in your move and I am in your turn. I am with you in the turn. You have brought me in with your turn. But isn't that good about
the bread and the covenant?
Jesus never broke God covenant. He did not break covenant with Judas.
No, he did not.
Up to the end.
No, he did not. No, he did not. Well, we're going to stop here.
Woo, that's good.
We were going to study some things and about remembrance as it pans out in the New Testament. This is enough to absorb today. This is enough to absorb today. I don't feel like we can take any more in today. So next week we'll, depending on which direction the Lord takes us, maybe revisit this in Exodus. But then also look at Luke 22 and Jesus' words there and how that works out and for us. And looking at the word month, just the word month, how that definition breaks down when God's saying this month will be the first month of the year for you. What that word month means. Yes. Amen. So we're going to speak the blessing over ourselves. And when karma comes back, we're going to partake of communion. But I'm going to speak the Aaronic blessing, the blessing of Aaron over us. And then I'm going to end this teaching with that. Amen. And though she's not in the room, this very much so applies to her and all believers. We speak this for ourselves and all believers. Lord, bless us. May Yahweh, who exists, kneel before us presenting gifts. May he keep us. May Yahweh, he who exists, guard us with a hedge of thorn protection that will prevent Satan and all your enemies from harming you. May he protect your body, soul, mind, spirit, your loved ones, and all your possessions. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. May Yahweh, he who exists, illuminate the wholeness of his being toward you, continually bringing order so that you will fulfill your God-given destiny and purpose, and be gracious to you. May Yahweh, he who exists, provide you with perfect love and fellowship, never leaving you. May he give you sustenance, provision, and friendship. May Yahweh lift up his countenance on you. May Yahweh, he who exists, lift up and carry his wholeness of being toward you, bringing everything that he is to your aid, supporting you with his entire being, and give you peace. May Yahweh, he who exists, set in place all you need to be whole and complete, so that you can walk in victory moment by moment by the power of Holy Spirit. May he give you supernatural help, peace, welfare, safety, soundness, tranquility, prosperity, perfection, fullness, rest, harmony, as well as the absence of agitation and discord. In Jesus' name. Amen.